One of my close friends, whom I quote frequently, his name is Edgar Mitchell. You may not recognize the name, but you'll remember the photos. Back in 1971, Ed Mitchell was the sixth man to walk on the moon. He was the Apollo 14 commander. And Edgar is a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in nuclear physics. That's as left-brained as it gets, folks. That's as scientific and left-brained as you can be, and was trained as a scientist. And he had what I talk about in Real Magic, what I call a Satori experience while he was on the moon. And I've shared many evenings with him talking about his walking on the moon, what that was like. We have in our living room a large photograph of the Earth taken from the surface of the moon, signed by Dr. Mitchell, a very beautiful memento indeed. And this word Satori is something that came across in reading on some books on Eastern philosophy for Real Magic. And it translates roughly in English to instant awakening. An instant awakening. See, most of us in the West have come to believe that in order to awaken or to be enlightened or to reach certain levels of achievement or to be successful and so on, we have to follow a prescribed set of rules and dogma. And those rules are handed to us by other people as we go through our developmental processes. And we believe that you have to set goals and you have to struggle and you have to sacrifice and you have to work hard and you have to go to school and you have to get the proper training and you have to find somebody who knows more than you do and you have to be an apprentice and then eventually you work your way up the ladder and ultimately we reach this place called enlightenment or success or whatever you want to call it. And that is a possibility for all of us. Certainly it's one way to get there. It takes a long time. Sometimes we get there and then it's over. But it's still a way. All right? And then when you read Eastern philosophy and you become engrossed in the power of the mind and the power of the divine intelligence that flows through all of us, and you look at spiritual masters who've walked among us over the centuries, you discover that there's another way. And that other way is like in an instant, in a moment. It's like, and most of us can trace back to the very significant and dramatic changes that we have had take place in our own lives to an instant, to a moment. And then we walk away and leave it behind. So here's Ed Mitchell walking on the moon, 1971, and he looks to his left, and he can see an infinity of heavenly bodies hurling through space at thousands of miles per hour, all synchronized in a collaboration with eternity, all just absolutely moving in harmony. And he's standing on the moon. Try to visualize yourself there. And then he looks to his right, and he can see this blue quarter shining in the sky. And that's the Earth. That's what it looks like, about the size of a quarter from standing on the moon. Bright blue like our sky. And he said he had this awareness that everything that we've ever worried about or consumed ourselves with or been troubled by was on this quarter. This quarter. And beyond the quarter was more heavenly bodies just hurling all movement. And every problem, every difficulty, every war, whether or not our children are going to grow, whether our business is going to work, whether it didn't work, that back, you know, Genghis Khan, I mean, it doesn't, cavemen, Neanderthal, ages, ice age, all of it. It's on this quarter. And he's standing here. And he said he had this, like, satori, this instant awakening. And it was that this is an intelligent system that we are all a part of. And I said, Ed, You would think that someone with a PhD from the most prestigious university in the world in the study of science would know that before they got into the capsule. He said, no. He said, we studied how to be in charge of matter and how to be in charge of our world. We never studied the spiritual consequences of travel in space. And he said, he came back from the moon, from the Apollo 14 flight, and he left the space program, he left NASA, and since that time, for the last 21 or 22 years, he founded the Institute for Noetic Sciences, and he has been lecturing about the spiritual implications of space travel and what it did to him as a human being. His talks are wonderful. Now, if that is true, just accept that that is true, that this is an intelligent system that we are a part of, that there's an intelligence about it that flows through it all. And you also are a part of that intelligence. That is your life here, from the time that you showed up until the time that you leave, in this parentheses in eternity, which is your life. It opens parentheses in that split second when one drop of human protoplasm collides with another and everything you needed for this physical journey is handled for you. It's all handled. And that's the physical journey. But there's also another journey that you're on that is not physical, that divine, formless, unbounded intelligence that flows through you and watches this physical you go through all of its motions. And you sort of stand back and you become like an observer to your own life. And you're watching it do all of the things that it does. Strange and wonderful things are happening to your form all the time. I know strange and wonderful things have been happening to my form since I showed up here. And I watch it all. And I'm intrigued by it, but I never identify with it. I'm detached from it. I'm observing it. I'm watching it.